Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Lost your keys? Calgary Lock & Safe can rekey or recode your locks. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
Hour three of the program underway. Final hour of the program. We got Flames warm up at the top of the hour. But right now, we say hello to Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada. Hello, Mr. Friedman. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Paul. Pat, thank you very much for being patient with me. The wind blew my recycling bin all over my driveway. I had to go collect it.
Everything's okay? You've got everything picked up now?
Yes, the paper bags and everything else, the various plastics, they are safe and sound back in the bin.
That is what's most important. I am glad to hear. Let's start talking a little trade because everybody was all around it. It looked like Vancouver and Anaheim were minutes away from making a deal over the weekend. Vertanen to Anaheim, Heinen to Vancouver. You reported on Saturday headlines, though, that that's leaning towards the unlikely side. Where are we now on that potential trade?
Yeah, I think we all got kind of carried away on Saturday with that one. I don't think it was even that close. I have to tell you, Pat, that, you know, I think I first mentioned on Tuesday last week that I heard Vertanen to the Ducks and they were trying to work it out. But if you look at the situation, Vertanen is a million less than Heinen this year. And while Heinen doesn't have a contract next year, Vertanen's at 3.4. Like, that's cash, not cap. That's cash. And I think the two teams are like dollar for dollar. They want dollar for dollar. And, you know, they couldn't get it there. I was told it was never a one-for-one deal, that they were talking about other players. You know, one of the players I think that Anaheim might have talked about in there was Derek Grant. That was one rumbling I'd heard. But, it wasn't anything that the two sides could agree on. So, like, they may try again. They obviously have tried several times over the past week. But on Saturday, I just heard people weren't very optimistic.
Okay. What is your gauge on how much interest exists specifically in Vertanen around the league right now?
On who are you talking about?
On Vertanen.
That second year is really tough. That 3.4 next year is a real challenge. Like, you know, Pat, one of the things that's going on right now is there just isn't, you know, like, there aren't a lot of teams that are willing to take on money. It's a real buyer's market. There's a lot of sellers. There's a lot of teams that don't think they've got a chance or they want to move cash. But, you know, how many teams out there do you really think want to take on cash?
Yeah.
Not very many. And so, that's the thing right now. Like, you know, Vertanen 3.4 for next year, that's causing a problem.
Yeah, understandably. So what does the trade market look like around the league right now? How much talk is there? How much has the world we're living in kind of made trade talk a whole lot less right now?
You know, last weekend, I got to tell you, like, to me, it was like a whole lot of, like, just like a lot, like in all my calls around, I couldn't find a time. Like, I really even struggled to make up something that was good. I think there's a lot of talk now. We're starting to see some more separation. I think there's some teams looking at the math and saying, all right, like, it's not good for us. And I think the moment you realize it's not good for you, you want to see if you can shed salary. But, you know, like I said, Pat, there's a lot of teams that don't want to take on money. And
yep,
the Canadian border adds another level to this. I mean, there are the teams there, the seven teams in this country, they know if they bring someone in, it's a while. So you're talking about playing shorthanded in terms of what you deal and what you get. So I think right now it's a real grind. I think there's a lot of players out there that, like, I saw a lot of rumblings about, say, Brandon Sutter for this weekend. Like, I like Brandon Sutter. Do I think his number's too high? Yes, but as a player, I like him. And the problem is that, you know, how many Brandon Sutter-like players are going to be out there? So the teams that are actually taking on money, they can afford to be picky and choosy and say, you know, we'll wait till either the perfect player we want or the least return we can give up. Now, there's some other guys, if they come out there, where you know that if they get dealt, you're going to understand it. Like if Philip Forsberg gets traded, you're going to look at that deal and you're going to say, okay, I get it. If, and I stress this is an if, Jack Eichel gets traded, I assume we're going to look at that deal and say, okay, I get it. But there's, I think there's going to be a lot of guys out there and a lot of teams out there that are going to say, boy, we're not getting a lot of bites that we want. And I think you guys kind of went through that with Bennett.
Right.
I just don't think you guys were getting the bites you wanted.
Elliot Friedman's with us from Hockey Night. Well, let me ask you about those two guys. First of all, on the Eichel front, I know he's missed a few games due to injury. When he first got held out, there was a little bit of hysteria. Like, oh, my goodness, are they trading Eichel? Turns out he was hurt. But what are you hearing about his immediate future in Buffalo and between now and the end of this season?
You know, like, I got to be careful with this one. I don't think he's asked for a trade. You know, last summer, there was something going on around him. And, you know, I don't know that he ever asked for a trade, but I think they knew he was unhappy. And they went and they solicited offers. And they just decided, the Sabres decided at the end, we're not ready to do this. You know, I think the Rangers were there, but, and I'm sure there were others, but they just said, you know, we're not ready to do this. Now, right now, look, like, Buffalo has to know where this is headed. If he was not happy last year, is he going to be any happier this year? And the way it's going, the answer's got to be no. So the question is, how are they going to handle this? You know, I think the thing is, like, are you, if you do it now, can you make your best deal? Or are you smarter to wait until after the season when everybody knows what their contract statuses are, when teams are going to have the 10% bonus cushion to use, like all of that stuff? And, like, I think there, like I said this last week or 2 weeks ago in Buffalo, I think there are teams like the Rangers and Kings who could do it now. I just think the biggest question is, what does Buffalo want here? You know, what do they think? You know, they just had a horrible weekend. I don't think you should make this kind of a trade when you're emotional. I think you should try to create the biggest auction you can try to create and then just go from there. So I think that's eventually what they're going to do.
And then Philip Forsberg, who is fascinating, is there a market there right now, or is that a similar situation to Eichel and maybe wait till the offseason?
I think that Nashville, at the very least, what they've done is they've kind of let everybody know this is where we are. And if you're serious, come talk to us. And I think there are a lot of teams talking to them. I think there are a lot of teams, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but I think teams that are interested in adding or really think they've got a chance or are really interested in one of those players, like I think they're kind of fielding the market and kind of seeing and creating or kind of create and see what exactly the market is. So, like, I don't know for sure that Forsberg is going to get dealt, but I think Nashville knows.
Okay.
Who's interested?
Elliot Friedman's with us every Monday on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Ask you a few others, and I do have to ask you about, because you talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick, and it was a story then, and it remains a story now. Patrick Kane scores his 400th last night. Hawks beat the Red Wings, and Chicago's sitting there right now in a playoff spot.
Yep.
Comfortably in a playoff spot. Not a whole lot was expected of Chicago this year, and yet here they are. I know so much focus on the Canadian division this year, but how good has Chicago been, and how good a story is this?
Well, it's pretty impressive. It's really incredible. Like, I don't think they expected it. Like, they may say they did, but I refuse to believe it. You know, Patrick Kane, he's in the MVP conversation now.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at it, I think you've got Matthews there. I think you've got McDavid there. I think you've got McKinnon there. And now I think Patrick Kane is very much in there. And if Chicago makes the playoffs, it's going to be tough to vote against them. I'm surprised. I'm surprised. Obviously, Lankinen, I had no idea. The Suter, the Kershaw, the Russian player, there are guys here I never imagined that would have the impact that they've had this year. You know, the thing about that division is there's a real spread, eh? Like, you look at the top and bottom of that division. You know, Detroit, you know, we know what we expected of Detroit. The math is really not good for Nashville. The math is not good for Columbus. And the math is suddenly getting really ugly for Dallas. Now, they're a 500 team, but because of the games they've played, they're less than everybody else, and they've got a hellish schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that they're pretty beaten up. Like Hintz is kind of in and out. Like, I think they got some guys really playing hurt there. Like, all of a sudden, you're looking at the top four teams. You know, I mean, we all know how good Tampa is, and I think Carolina's pretty good. And you look at the headway that Florida and Chicago's made, the math itself is going to make it hard. So I agree with you. I think it's a fascinating story.
What is the latest on the NHL draft right now? And kind of fill us in as to why the scheduled time frame in late July isn't necessarily what NHL teams are hoping for.
Well, you know, I really think that, I just look at it right now, I think it's the head and the heart, right, Pat? Mm-hmm. The head says it's not going to happen. And I wrote that last week. They're not going to end up moving it. There are too many issues that are problematic, including the rights of the players. Like, for example, if an 18-year-old's drafted out of the CHL, he goes back into the draft as long as he's not older than 20 if he doesn't get signed in 2 years. And, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to say, okay, if he gets drafted in December or he gets drafted in a year from now, you're going to say, okay, well, he's still got to wait 2 years. We don't care if you're 21. Or they're going to say, you know what, you only get a year and a year and a half, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. And, all of these things are a problem. I heard what happened was the Players Association said, if you want to do this, here's a list of 12 or 13 things that we're going to need or need to be addressed. And, I think after everything they've had to do with the protocols and the CBAs and the MOUs, I just don't know if everybody has a lot of steam for this particular fight or this mm-hmm. particular challenge. Now, I wrote that, and I got a call from someone, Pat, and they told me that, you know, all of that stuff is right, but what about what's best for the game? And this is the heart of the argument, right? There are people who believe really strongly, and it's the teams and it's the players and a lot of the agents, that the right thing to do is to postpone the draft, whether you move it to next December or January, or you move both of them to next June. They feel it is wrong to make the teams do this, and they are passionate about it. A lot of this is the same group of people when the NHL wanted to do the draft last year, that originally or in June,
right?
They fought it and they said, don't do it. So they're like, I don't know. Like, I hear it's going to be really tough, Pat, but I think these teams are really passionate about the right thing for the game is to move it.
And the reason for that is just because there hasn't been enough viewing for a good chunk of the draft eligible prospects. Is that basically at the crux of why they are wanting to push it and not do it in July?
Absolutely. I mean, right now you've got players that haven't been scouted. It's like they're being scouted on year-old tape, video.
Yeah.
You know, like, as you know, out there, the Western Hockey League's got pockets up and going, but, you know, BC's not going. In Ontario, it's not going to happen until April at the earliest. It sucks. It sucks for these kids, and the teams are just like, it's not right. And but I don't know who's going to win this one, the head or the heart, although the heart is certainly pushing.
And final thought for you. You did an admirable job trying to explain this on Saturday. Tell us what NBA...
Oh, there's going to be more coming tomorrow in the blog.
Is there?
I spent way too much time on this, by the way.
So, NBA Top Shot. Tell us what that is. Tell us why it's relevant to the NHL. And tell us why it is so difficult for Elliot to explain.
Well, I'm not heavily into the world of blockchain and crypto, although I've learned a ton about it in the last 72 hours. And, basically, the big picture is, like, the Top Shot. Okay, so if you're a card collector, this is basically card collecting for the next generation, or the new evolution of it, except there's no cards. It's all highlights. And, right now you can go on YouTube, for example, and get those highlights for free. But there is a company here, it's based in Vancouver, it's called Dapper Labs, and they've found a way to monetize them. They create what's called moments, and there's a limited number of them, just like cards, and you sell them. And they made a deal with the NBA and the Players Association there a couple years ago. And for example, every time a moment is sold, the company gets 5% of the sale, and the NBA gets a piece of that. And the difference here, and what it is, and there's a lot of people who say this isn't going to go anywhere. Mark Cuban is one of the big guys who's backing it. He understands this world more than me. And he talks about, like, the next generation is a lot more comfortable with cryptocurrencies and blockchain than we are. But basically what it comes down to, and this is the key here for the NHL, and I think it's why the NHL and the Players Association and the alumni are around it, is that right now, when you sell a trading card, the NHL gets the licensing and the players get the licensing at the beginning, the first sale. But then every time it's sold after that, they don't get a cut. It's out of their control. With the blockchain, you can write the code so that every time there's a sale, you can get a cut of it. So all of a sudden, your revenues have a chance to really increase, and you're involved in everything, not just the original part of it. And I'm working to confirm this, and I hope to have it confirmed later today, but from what I understand, that's the case with the NBA. They get a piece of every sale. So all of a sudden, if trading and memorabilia collecting online becomes a big thing again, the NHL could get a piece of every single one of these sales. And these moments, and that's what they're called, moments instead of cards, every sale is on the card. Like, every time it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way that this is going to become a big deal, Pat, is if the blockchain technology works and the crypto technology works, ticket sales are going to go like this. So that, for example, if you buy a ticket to go see the Flames tonight, and I know, Pat, that you use your media pass and you never pay for tickets, but if you buy a ticket to go see the Flames tonight, if you resell it, you get it all. Team doesn't get anything. However, if the code can be written so that every time that ticket is sold, the NHL gets a piece of it, that's a game changer. So there's the collectible side of it, and there's the technology side of it. And these are both big deals. I have no idea how this works, but we have to look into it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where we are.
Very interesting. I'm kind of I've definitely started to dabble more and more in the world of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So blockchain is very fascinating to me. So when I heard that on...
Now, is CJ come on your show?
Hasn't been on in a while. Is he a big crypto guy?
Yeah, he's done enough blockchain mining to short out the electricity of a small island. He's really into
that. He's a big miner, hey? I did not know that. That's I'm going to have to text him.
Be exaggerating slightly, but he does it.
That's very cool. I did not know that. I might have to text him on that a little bit later on. Good stuff, Fridge. We will talk to you on Monday, and we'll hear you Friday with the guys in the morning. Be well, my friend.
All right. Take care, man. Speak to you later, Pat.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Having issues with your automatic doors not working properly? Calgary Lock & Safe can help. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.